Of course, this is 2020, and heading into 2020, we were not at all anticipating this being the dominant thing that was going to occupy all of our attention. We were expecting the upcoming election to be the thing that occupied all of our attention. And that is still going on. It is still primary season. What is the state of things, and how is this particular outbreak and our reaction to it affecting our thoughts about the upcoming 2020 election? We're joined on the phone to address those questions by Tom Jensen, who's the director of public policy polling based out of Raleigh. Publicpolicypolling.com is their website. You can find them on Twitter at PPPpolls. Tom, thank you for being with us today.
Hey, Aaron, good to be with you.
So we talked last week about a survey of North Carolina voters that showed a little bit of a bump for Donald Trump in the polls, but kind of dwarfed by a huge bump in the polls for Governor Roy Cooper. We've now gotten in the last week some additional surveys of other states, also comparing how this is impacting Donald Trump's approval rating to how this is impacting the approval rating of governors around the country. What are you seeing? Is it similar to the situation in North Carolina?
Yeah, we really find that to the extent that Donald Trump did temporarily have a bit of a coronavirus boost in his approval ratings, that's already starting to decline. We did a poll in Pennsylvania this week, and Trump's approval for handling the coronavirus was a net minus 3% more disapproved than approved of him. And by contrast, the governor of Pennsylvania, Tom Wolf, had a net plus 42% approval for his handling of the virus, 62% approved, 20% disapproved, so a 45-point difference there. And then I think the other thing that was interesting was that Trump's approval specifically on the coronavirus was minus 3. Trump's overall approval in Pennsylvania was minus 6. So for a little bit there, mostly 2 weeks ago, we were seeing Trump getting much better numbers on his handling of the coronavirus than he was getting for his overall approval. And now as his coronavirus numbers have slipped, there's starting to not be that much of a difference between his coronavirus and overall approval at all. And then the other thing that I think is important to note is, of course, Trump won Pennsylvania in 2016. Having a minus 6 approval rating there right now shows he's not doing very well during this crisis.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, you mentioned the Pennsylvania poll there. I've seen, and you've mentioned, similar numbers in California with Gavin Newsom, the governor out there. Now, those two governors are both Democrats, and so is Roy Cooper. What are we seeing in terms of the impact in states where the governor is also a Republican? You've got Ron DeSantis down in Florida that also kind of dragged his heels a little bit on these stay-at-home orders. You've got a governor like Mike DeWine in Ohio that was kind of out in front of it. What's the impact there, do we know?
We actually haven't seen a lot of polling yet on how any of those Republican governors are doing, but my guess is that Mike DeWine might have an approval rating in the 80s at this point. And that is what we're seeing with some of the governors who have been the most visible on the issue. You mentioned we did a poll in California. Their governor, Gavin Newsom, has an 83% approval rating for his handling of the virus. Perhaps the most visible governor in the country has been Andrew Cuomo in New York. And there was a new poll that came out in New York this week that showed him close to 90% approval rating for his handling of the virus, and that it was also having a huge impact on his overall approval rating. The same pollster, when they had last done his approval, I think had it in the 40s, his overall approval, and then their most recent poll had it up to the 70s after it had previously been in the 40s. So we definitely see that some governors are getting a huge boost out of their leadership in this crisis. Trump, on the other hand, is getting a minimal boost, if anything, and whatever boost he is getting may be less than it was a couple weeks ago. The other thing, and we don't do any polling in foreign countries, but there's been a fair amount of polling of foreign leaders in terms of sort of what impact this is having on their approval ratings in their countries, and Trump's approval bounce in the U.S. is much less than some of these European leaders are getting for their leadership in their countries.
This is really significant, and kind of Trump aside, and any conversation where I can say Trump aside, the better. But Trump aside, and really focusing on these governors and the way in which they've stepped up to address the situation. You and I have had these conversations for a long time now, where there is just nobody in the country on either side of the aisle that has crossover appeal or approval, just really no one on either side, whether they're far to the left, far to the right, in the middle, prominent, not prominent, anything. You're either popular with the left or popular with the right or popular with neither, but you're not seeing any bipartisan approval. And now we are, and it's in these situations where you've got a serious crisis, and the people who are really getting the bounce in the approval ratings are the ones who are in those positions of leadership, who are stepping up in that moment of crisis and saying, okay, I'm in charge, the buck stops here, here's what we're going to do, we're going to take all of these significant actions, here's why we're doing it, communicating effectively with constituents on a regular and a daily basis, and giving people that reassurance that we're all going to get through this together. And that turns out to be what we have maybe always wanted in leadership this whole time, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And one question that we've been asking on these polls that I think is pretty telling is, we say, do you think that the federal government has overreacted, underreacted, or has the reaction been about right? Do you think your state government has overreacted, underreacted? Do you think the reaction's been about right? We're generally finding that between 70 and 80% of people think that the reaction that their state government has had to the virus is about right. And then the other 20 to 30% is sort of evenly split between people saying there's been an overreaction and people saying there's been an underreaction. Then when we ask the same question about the federal government, we tend to find that it's pretty closely divided between people saying that it's been about right and people saying that it's been an underreaction. We'll usually see 45 to 50 say the response has been about right, compared to 70 to 80 for the state government. And then we'll also see that 45 to 50% say there's been an underreaction, where for the state governments, we're only seeing maybe 10% say there's been an underreaction. And one thing that I think is very key to note that is true both for the federal response and for the state level responses, only about 10% or even less of voters are saying that they think anybody is overreacting in dealing with this crisis. I think sometimes when we hear a voice saying there's an overreaction, that really gets amplified to make it sort of seem like more people think that than there really are. Almost nobody thinks that there's an overreaction going on.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, publicpolicypolling.com, the website. Find him on Twitter at PPPpolls. So obviously, these huge bumps are not going to last. We've seen this before. Every time there's a crisis, the leader, whether it's the governor or the president, generally gets a significant bounce in the approval ratings, and then it comes back down. So historically, how long does it last before we're back to the same old normal of partisan bickering and everything else?
I'd say usually you get about a couple months after the crisis is over where your numbers stay up where they are. So for somebody like Roy Cooper, we'll see. Maybe this is going to go all the way to September and his boost will keep him tided over right through the election. But I think that this situation is especially relevant, for instance, for us in talking about the North Carolina governor's race. Roy Cooper was already a favorite for reelection, but I'd say a somewhat modest favorite. Probably a month ago at this time, if you asked me, I would have said he'd beat Dan Forrest by 4 or 5 points. Now, if you ask me, with this big boost that he's gotten from handling this crisis well in the minds of voters, I think Cooper's favored by more like 8 or 9 points. Now, let's say that that does fade off and he goes back to being up by 4 or 5 points. That still gives him a much higher place that Dan Forrest would have to knock him down from than we had a month ago. It used to be that Forrest had to make up 4 or 5 points. Now Forrest has to make up 8 or 9 points. Maybe Forrest can make up 4 or 5 points to get it back down to 4 or 5, but I think it's a lot harder for Forrest to make up 8 or 9 points to get it all the way to the point where he could actually win. I thought of our governor's race as sort of leaning in Roy Cooper's direction, a month ago, I'm moving more towards thinking that it's a likely re-election for him.
What's the difference between leaning and likely? I've heard that from pollsters, and you see this in a number of analyses of the upcoming election. Is there kind of a bright line difference between the two?
I think leaning is if somebody is pretty definitely ahead, but it's sort of within the margin of error, which mm-hmm. that 4 or 5 point advantage would fall into. And I think you get more into likely if you're up by something like 8 or 9 that's outside the margin of error of the average poll. I'd still just barely probably put it in the likely. I like to be more conservative with these kinds of assessments. So for me to really feel like Cooper was absolutely likely, I'd want to see him consistently up by low double digits in polls. But he's definitely moving in that direction from where before it was pretty much in the he's definitely ahead, but he's not ahead by that much column.
So that's where things stand on the state level. How about the presidential election? Are we seeing any really significant changes now versus a month ago?
Well, I think what's interesting is, for instance, yesterday two new polls came out, and we've talked so much about how Trump's approval rating stuck 41, 42, 43%. So two new polls came out yesterday, and one of them had Trump with a 47% approval rating. One of them had Trump with a 48% approval rating. So on the surface, you'd look at that and think, wow, you know, maybe he's moving towards being favored for reelection because he's brought up his approval numbers so much. He was down by 4 points to Biden in both of those polls, which is pretty consistent with where he'd been over time. So I think what we're seeing is that some people are starting to say that they approve of Trump who didn't before, and I think that's a little bit of a rally around the flag effect type thing, but they're not moving towards actually saying they're going to vote for Trump. So he's getting a little bit of a boost in his approval rating, not really getting a boost in his standing against Joe Biden. So I just think that's important for people to sort of be aware of. I think a lot of the media coverage has focused more on the improvement in his approval numbers without simultaneously acknowledging this isn't doing a whole lot to bring up his head-to-heads against Biden.
And then finally, we're still in primary season. We've got primaries that are coming up. A lot of them are getting moved. Schedules are changing. Some schedules are not changing. We've got a Wisconsin primary coming up soon. How is all of this affecting that?
So what's very interesting about the Wisconsin primary coming up on Tuesday is, first of all, it is the only primary that was scheduled for April that's still being held in April. All the rest of them have been moved to June 2nd. So June 2nd is almost going to be like a second Super Tuesday because you not only have a ton of states voting that day, but a lot of them are pretty big states. So the reason Wisconsin hasn't hasn't postponed its primary election next week is that in addition to the presidential races, they have their state Supreme Court races are in the April election every year in Wisconsin. And Republicans who are in charge of the state legislature think that they have a structural advantage if they have an election during the middle of the coronavirus. There's a couple different reasons for that. One is that we continue to find that about 20% more Democrats are very concerned about the virus than Republicans. If you're very concerned about the virus, you're less likely to go out and vote in an election in the middle of the virus. So I think Republicans think that by keeping the election next Tuesday, their voters are going to be more likely to turn out than the Democrats are. The other piece of it is that there is a huge shortage of poll workers for the election in Wisconsin next Tuesday because, understandably, a lot of people who would usually be poll workers don't want to go out during the virus. And something that especially exacerbates that is most poll workers are older people who are especially susceptible, so that makes them even less likely to go out to work. So the upshot of that is in the city of Milwaukee, which of course is one of the bigger cities in the country, they're going to have 12 polling places open on Election Day for the entire city of Milwaukee, which is like half as many as we have for Chapel Hill and Carrboro when we're obviously very small compared to Milwaukee. So you're possibly going to be having huge lines at these few polling places that are open. And Milwaukee, like most urban areas, very heavily Democratic. Republicans think that they're going to be able to sneak out a win in this Supreme Court race next week by just having the election as scheduled because of several of these political issues related to the virus.
publicpolicypolling.com for more information on numbers across the country and across the state. Find them on Twitter at PPP Polls. Tom Jensen, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.